and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
All right, welcome aboard, everybody. It's New Retirement Radio with Dennis Prout, Prout Financial Design, the first broadcast in the brand new, actually the remodeled old studio. Welcome aboard, Mr. Dennis Prout.
And it is beautiful here. Thank you, Ron. This is so exciting. Wendy's over there behind the glass. We can actually see, you know, her and or Colleen when she's in as well.
Yeah.
And the technology, still obviously still trying to figure this out, but the mics, everything, just gorgeous, just beautiful.
We have space to move around.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
if you want to bring in the Prout office band, we have plenty of room for that.
There you go.
There we go.
And we don't even have to stand up.
Right.
We can sit down.
Right.
Yeah, and we can actually sit here together, which is radically new.
Radical.
Really
very
nice.
Exciting.
Boy, thank you to all of you who are listening. So Heidi Thompson joining us as Shay Pataja is. Shay will be doing our Shade Stats. Heidi is going to be covering, successful retirement, four keys, according to this article, which is an article that Ron sent to us. It thought it'd be an article of interest, and indeed it is. So we're actually going to be covering that for a part of the show as well. But first, I'm going to be covering IRA planning for special needs beneficiaries. Now, not every family has a special needs child or extended family, but most of us know a family with perhaps a special needs situation. In this case, there are some significant special planning or special needs planning things that you can do for that individual and reach beyond your own life expectancy if you want to. So for those of you who are trying to help a child or other loved one or know someone perhaps who is beyond their own ability and their own life expectancy, this can be an incredible opportunity to help. Why are we discussing it? Well, because most larger assets, as we've discussed, are held in IRAs or other qualified accounts, whether it's a Roth IRA, perhaps even a 403B, retirement accounts. Specific planning tactics can assist these individuals without jeopardizing their governmental benefits. So usually these special needs situations involve government help. Given that case or given that situation, how do we help them without jeopardizing that assistance that they're getting?
That's really important, Dennis, because a lot of these programs that support these individuals, you know, you really want them to be able to continue to participate and take advantage of. And you certainly don't want to jeopardize that by improper planning or setting up the trust.
Exactly. Now, some trusts, if properly funded, can avoid the tax issues related to larger distributions and take advantage of the stretch IRA rules. So instead of significant tax problems occurring in some cases, all of a sudden you can stretch. With the new SECURE Act, which we often smile at government legislation these days, many times they are exactly opposite of what they are named. In this case, it was a significant tax increase for those who held retirement accounts. Well, under the SECURE Act, there was a significant space allowed for those who are trying to do special needs planning for those that follow. And this can be extremely helpful in avoiding some of those tax issues because they're able to stretch the benefit. Instead of, in essence, having to take 10% of the amount, let's say there's a $200,000 IRA. that we are trying to help pass on to a special needs person or that income they're from. We don't want them to receive that lump sum. Frankly, we don't trust them to be able to handle it. And as we already mentioned, we don't want them to have to face the band, if you will, of having all that income. Because in many cases, this is fully taxable income. We don't want them to receive either one of those. We don't want them to have the responsibility or to face the tax consequences. And in given that case, then, we can limit then what they're getting and qualify still for the government benefits and still keep them from having to have the responsibility and or, you know, being able to spend those funds down. We want to control how those funds are received and who has ultimate control over those assets. Many times in these special needs trusts, and oh, by the way, we dove right into this thing, always get advice regarding these kinds of trusts from a properly qualified estate planning attorney. Make certain that he or she is involved in guiding you in this sort of thing, as well as a qualified financial advisor who can help walk you through not only the legal aspects, but also the tax aspects and the control aspects, to make certain that the custodian is actually even going to recognize this, that to make certain that you have the proper trustees overseeing these kinds of assets.
That's so true, because it really is a merger of looking at the legal side and the financial side. And by combining people from both of those different studies, you're going to end up with a better result, because you'll have someone who's has input on the tax strategy and someone who inputs on the legal side. So combining those together gives you the better outcome.
Yes.
And it gives your family more resources. It gives your family more resources should something happen to you. They have more than one person to reach out to get the perspective. And I think that's really helpful.
It is. That's why a couple came in to see us a couple of days ago. And they said, well, we're going to have this trust redone by our attorney, but we also want to hear the financial planning side, the tax side, the other parts of what we might be trying to accomplish, the positives and the negatives of doing this particular, having this particular trust. So why name a trust for a special needs beneficiary? Number one, to protect the funds for the special needs individual. Two, provide amenities without jeopardizing the government benefits. And what are those amenities that we're thinking about? Gifts, education, vacations, or other personal items to enhance their lives. Now, normally you're doing this while you're still on this earth as a parent in this particular situation. Within this trust, that trust then can do those things that you no longer possibly can because you're no longer here.
Yeah.
Here. So the drawbacks, let's discuss the negatives as well. Number one, the trust income tax rates are applied to non-distributed income. What does that mean? Well, any income over $13,000 approximately is going to be taxed at 37%. So that's one aspect in thinking about the size of this IRA that's going to go to this individual and the amount that they're going to have to take. That's where simply speaking from the financial planning side can help you gauge what are the tax implications to John or Sally.
Why such a high tax rate?
That's what the law says. Wow. That's what the law is, Ron. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So trust tax rates, that's something that's never considered usually in these conversations.
Yeah.
Now, that's why we're part of the EdSlot team. You know, we have these geeks overseeing this sort of thing for us and with us. Yes, Heidi?
I was just going to say, and on the individual side, the income levels to reach that 37% tax rate are much higher. So trust 37% tax rate bracket starts at $13,050 of income, which
right.
is relatively low.
It I is. So theoretically, a 3% withdrawal rate on a $400,000 IRA. Now, not a small sum, but theoretically, if that were the case, all of a sudden you're at $12,000. So you're already $12,000 of income that has to be distributed as the RMD. Now, we are, I get we're looking at the 30 and 40,000 foot view. We're going back and forth on a lot of different issues. But if you are wanting to control how this special needs beneficiary is going to receive the income, if you're wanting to control and make certain that their government benefits continue, if you're wanting to help them to some extent but not give them all that responsibility, a special needs trust within a qualified account could make sense. Now, this can also work in Roth IRAs, so we totally dispense with the tax issues in a Roth IRA. Oh my gosh, all of a sudden the Roth IRA could be possibly the best instrument to use
There's
for a special
Roth
needs
the Roth.
Beneficiary.
Yes. It's awesome.
Those proud people always talking about that Roth.
So is there a legal definition for special needs?
Well, basically, it's when that person has qualified for government benefits from a very simple definition. Now, that may not be all-inclusive, but for our discussion here today, it's for someone who is getting government benefits, Medicaid or Social Security disability, where you don't want to interfere with those benefits. Thank you, Ron. Great question. So it's amazing how all of these accounts that you own, which have helped you create options, can possibly even help create more options for those that follow. And you might be able to help them beyond any means that you thought might have been available before. And before we go to our break, and just looking again at the studio, what a team effort this was. It was really fun to be out there visiting with Chris and Mitch and Tim for the first time in, it feels like, almost a year. So congrats to WTCM and the whole team effort that went into making this possible.
Mm-hmm. And the engineering team.
The engineering. Yeah, this was a massive wires when we were in here about 2 weeks ago. So they've done a lot of great work to make this happen. So Heidi is talking about these retirees are more likely to be satisfied in retirement. What are the components components of that, of those particular happiness indicators?
Yes, Dennis, we're looking at this article that Ron sent to us, and it's by Kate Doerr, and came through the CNBC site. And this was a study that they did with retirees, and they found some common items among people who rated their retirement as high satisfaction or even a comfortable retirement. So we thought it would be interesting to look at what are those common items among these people that have such a good rating in retirement. And one is guaranteed income. So having guaranteed income was one. A second one was having little or no debt. And a third item was having a clear spend down strategy. And what that means is how you're pulling that money out of your retirement savings for that income. And finally, those who have employer provided assistance tend to have a higher satisfaction. And these all seem like common sense to us, but I think it's worth mentioning this because not only in retirement can you work to try to get towards those places where these are found in your plan, but also those people who are maybe 5, 10, even 15 years out from retirement, you can start putting those pieces into place so that you can have all these items and maybe attain that higher satisfaction level.
Yeah, there's some significant reasons in long-term studies that have been done and for most of those stats, and they do hold true over a number of years we've looked at. So
it's a lot of over the years what you've summarized here, what you've talked about.
Sure.
Try to get rid of the debt before you retire.
Right.
Have a spend down plan.
Correct.
What's the employer provided assistance?
Well, there's a couple of things. Some employers have a plan where you can continue on their health care policies. Some employers have pension plans, deferred compensation plans. So there's a lot of things like that, or maybe they help with consulting. You can go back and do part-time work. But people who are sort of supported into the next part of their life in retirement by their employer. That's what that covers.
Even partially. We often see those clients who are even partially involved or consulting tend to do better in their retirement years. You bet.
Yeah. So I just wanted to go back to that first one I mentioned, guaranteed income, because of course, the follow-up question is, what is guaranteed income? And we call guaranteed income, that could be your Social Security, which most of us participate in. It could be a pension from your employer, or maybe you have a couple of pensions. You may have changed jobs over the years, and you may have more than one pension coming to you. And in fact, they found that people who had more than one source of guaranteed income tended to feel better about it because that money wasn't just coming from one place.
Options, having options.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
There you go. So they may not necessarily trust Social Security to be there forever. Is that what you're saying, Heidi?
Could be. And there's even some things you can buy yourself that could, products out there that you can buy yourself that can provide you a guaranteed income. And those are some kinds of annuity products. So there's a varied sources that you can do to get that guaranteed income.
A variety of income sources, obviously then, can spread the risk that we might encounter having maybe too few. As simple as that. Yes.
Right. And then the article goes into a little bit of a cautionary thing where they talk about people when they expect to retire. Now, most people in the study said they were expected to retire between 65, 67 years of age. But in actuality, about 46% retired before then. So what this puts a little light on it, that you might retire a little sooner than you expect, going on averages. So that just means you need to start planning earlier. You want to have that backup plan if that's something that actually comes to pass and you do want to retire sooner than you anticipate.
I think that's a great point. When you speak to your financial advisor or your tax man, is, okay, let's say I want to retire at 60. And they may say, whoa, that's ambitious. But maybe not, considering that the average age people actually retire is age 62 from that study. So that's, and we've had a few clients who thought that way. And even when they wanted to work longer, it bought them extra time.
Yeah.
And
you said the average age is 62 for retirement?
Yeah, the people that...
In this study,
wow, who thought they were going to retire 65 to 67, the average age ended up being closer to 62.
Wow.
So, and we did have that show not that long ago talking about that. Health or forced, or just change in the pandemic.
Or maybe a pandemic.
A lot of retirees' plans. Yeah. Or maybe there's a pandemic. How about we talk about that?
So Dennis and I often see people who are in their late 50s, early 60s coming in, and we're putting a plan together for their retirement. But I tell you, I get really excited when people in their 40s come in, because there's just so much more we can do with that extra timeline in front of us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, start thinking of that, or maybe taking advantage of, if you're in an employer plan, you may have an advisory option as part of that plan package. And you could just run a few questions by them to try to put yourself in a better situation going forward.
Well, what's really fun, too, talking to two advisors here, which I get to do for every day, is that sometimes it's just the simple changes. In my mind, it has to be something super dramatic and a lot of hard work to make a change. But the retirees that come in and do the financial plans first, you can increase their chances of more satisfaction by doing a few simple pivots or tweaks that aren't really that
crazy. They don't have to be dramatic.
They're not dramatic. Yeah. And so I always find that encouraging when you guys share that information, or, oh, there's this third option or possibility, because I think we also tend to think black and white. There's only two possibilities here. And when you go to a professional, they say, nope, there's like at least three or four. Mm-hmm. And that's the benefit of having someone who has an expertise.
That's
like the two
fun
of you.
Part, right?
Mm-hmm. It really is. When we can actually say, well, you know, can you push back the retirement date a bit? Or could you earn a part-time income? All those little things that we think in our own minds, we tend to be maybe a little too negative about what difference that can make. But when we run the numbers, all of a sudden, the chance of success goes, for instance, from 65 to 85%. We've seen that again and again. So many times, those adjustments that you can make, you still have control over those, even if you're 50, 60, 70. Mm-hmm. We've seen it again and again. So making some changes to those estimates can make a huge difference.
It's really encouraging.
Yeah, it really is.
Other things you can do is avail yourself of educational opportunities in community. And I know, like, Shay is in process right now developing our classes for this fall, which we'll be offering to the community.
We'll be offering retirement planning today, again this fall. And Heidi and I are working on our Women in Investing class called Flourish, and that's for women only. Sorry, guys. Ron is bummed, but you could maybe be the MC if you're interested. So, yeah, we've got classes going for this fall, and that's another way to dip your toe in the water and try to understand your own finances. And hey, if I can do it, you can.
Ron.
Yes, sir.
Ron, let's have a guys only class. We'll have
let's
Nolan's.
Do that. Yeah. Break out the cigars.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hey, I can make that happen. I would love to make that happen for you. The Nolan's guys are listening right now. I know this. So,
oh my gosh.
We're coming down, boys.
And all these elements we're talking about, like doing a financial plan or talking to an advisor or taking a class, this is where you can get clarity on that other one of having a clear spend down plan, because that's what Dennis and I do every day working with our clients, trying to help them figure out not only how much to take out, but what account to take out and which asset are we going to liquidate in order to meet those things. And it's tricky, and it's always, always changing, isn't it, Dennis?
It is. It's like looking at compounding and the difference that these real rates can make over a given number of years. We were looking at before the class, the difference that money can make to individuals, given the responsibility index that's been shifted to all of us. How can we take advantage of it? How can we make better decisions? Because it is up to us to make these successful as they possibly can be.
And what do we have to Shay stats now? Is that
we are?
Sure, if you want to.
Time for the stats.
We can do that right now.
Yep. All right.
The Federal Reserve has been buying $120 billion of federal debt per month since mid-March 2020, resulting in our nation's central bank buying 76% of all the federal debt that has been issued during the pandemic, and that's from the Federal Reserve.
That's just amazing how much it is. 76%. Quite a bit.
A bunch. Yep.
Dennis is speechless.
Yeah, honestly, it's incredible. Well, when you say the numbers, I think we're all becoming somewhat, not immune, but just, I don't know, no longer as surprised as we once were at the word billion, because we've morphed into trillion here.
Yep.
I saw a stat here. The federal government set a new record for the amount of taxes collected. October, beginning of the fiscal year through July, a new record. 10 months, they collected $3.318 trillion.
Wow.
10 months. $3.3 trillion they collected. They spent $5.9 trillion.
Still comes up a little bit on the negative side, I think.
Okay.
Our senators and reps still don't quite get it in terms of income versus expenses.
No.
That equation doesn't compute there in Washington, D.C. somehow.
All right. The personal savings rate in the U.S. was a record 33.8% in April 2020 as Americans reacted to the COVID-19 pandemic outbreak. The personal savings rate in the U.S. was 9.4% in June of 2021. Before the pandemic, the personal savings rate was above 10% during the first month since 1993. The personal savings rate is defined as savings after tax income less consumption spending divided by after tax income. And this is from the Department of Commerce.
Sure. So. Still a huge rate, relative high savings rate, comparatively, for sure.
The number of American workers in leisure and hospitality was 16.3 million as of February 29th of 2020 and dropped to 8.6 million as of April 30th of 2020.
Wow.
It has now rebounded to 15.8 million as of July 31st of 2021, and that's from the Department of Labor.
So down 500,000 from now before the pandemic.
It's pretty wild, isn't it?
It's just amazing how big these shifts are that happened in just a year or a year and a half. It's like massive numbers of things.
Well, it's been interesting for me because I like to eat out, so I have a lot of restaurant friends. And just learning from them that the pandemic and the shutdown actually taught them a lot about what the bandwidth is for their staff and how they actually make money in the restaurant. And over-serving the population was not necessarily beneficial for them. So some of them may never serve lunch again, may never serve dinner again. High demand for private parties, which are profitable. So I think we'll see a shift even in the restaurants we already have in Traverse City that may never go back to the way it was before.
Now that's interesting. So they've really started to narrow their focus, or maybe they already have, in terms of what's really providing us income. Mm-hmm. And what were we doing too much of?
Correct.
Versus what we should be doing more of.
Yep. And helping them like hone in on their specialty and take care of their staff. I think we've all learned how important it is to take care of the people that take care of us. And I think those are the silver linings I look for personally in all of this. And talking to other business owners who just say, you know, I can't even believe we were operating at that pace. I can't believe we were running trucks from here to there when we didn't need to, and referring business out. And I feel like there's a healthier balance coming into how people are doing business.
It seems like they're becoming more efficient.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So
that's good news.
All right. Wages and salaries of all civilian workers defined as workers in the private sector, along with workers for state and local governments, but not federal government workers, increased by 3.2% on a year-over-year basis as of June 30th of 2021. Inflation, as measured by the Consumer Price Index, or CPI, was up 5.4% over the same 12-month period, and that's from the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
So you're feeling really good at 3.2 until you see the inflation, right?
That's like a wage cut then, right? If you get 3.2% more wages, but prices are up 5.4%?
In essence, it is. Of course, it's going to depend what you're spending your money on, but things may become tighter, of course, as a result. Yeah.
All right, I have one more here. 43% of Americans under age 35 receive financial help from their parents or other family members when they purchase a home. So that's money used for a down payment, and that's from Legal and General. But it's very nice of family to help, it's considering they might be having their parents move in retirement years. so it's a joke. Maybe it's not funny.
Still remember when we were buying our first home and it felt like, oh my gosh, how are we going to scrape that down payment together? It was a stretch. So
Have you '80s. Heard of investor groups putting money into real estate, like trying to buy lots of homes?
Oh yeah,
yeah. I mean,
Yeah, tremendous amounts. The institutions have really gotten into this in terms of they view it as a decent return on their funds.
Yeah.
So that's creating more upward pressure on home prices around the nation. Obviously, they're looking at better statistical areas to invest in, and they're also looking at more capacity because of the millions and, in some case, billions that they're looking at investing. So, yes, that is part of the game today.
Good. Would work in Traverse City Market right now or Northern Michigan if you put money in a year ago.
Yes. I can't believe the amount of activity. Even on the way here this morning, I had to kind of take a back route. And what is it, Broomhead and 8th Street, that huge project that's going... Not Broomhead. Is it?
Common
Boardman.
Boardman and 8th. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Huge project. So lots of activity here in Traverse City, and it's only viewed as being positive for the future at this point. Well, as Shay was mentioning, some of the uncertainty related to some of the employers out there and changing. I thought of these quotes that Heidi had given to me this morning from this Global Leadership Summit that she attended last week.
Last Thursday and Friday. I've been going a couple of years now, and it's awesome each year. You know, I keep thinking, oh, they can't keep finding all these great speakers. But they do, and they have such great advice.
You came back lit up from this thing. Now, it was a Thursday and Friday of last week, correct?
That's correct. Yep.
And what is the local organization that sponsors this or has this?
The First Congregational Church out on the peninsula. They are an official host site for the Global Leadership Summit. And anyone from the community can come and sign up and participate. And it's done by satellite, live feed, and all this technology that I don't really understand. But I am amazed every year and come back, hopefully, a better leader for our firm and a better leader in the community, because they just give you such good insights.
I think it's more important now than ever to get positive inputs to us on a continuing basis.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.